Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to the Word at My Church. If this is your first time joining us, we want you to know you're in exactly the right place. You're exactly where God wants you to be. And I want to encourage you to share this broadcast with at least three people, because as believers, we have a mandate to spread the gospel of Christ all over the world. We are a teaching ministry with a mission to help people get better by teaching them how the Word works. So go ahead and get your Bible, your notebook, your pen, your highlighter, and let's get ready to dig into God's Word. But before we do, let's begin with our Bible confession. So go ahead and grab your Bible in your hand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe every word. I am who it says I am. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. By hearing its word and applying it by faith, it'll change my life. So I declare right now, from this day forward, that my life will never, ever, ever be the same again. And neither shall the life of anyone with whom I share this word. So I declare I'm going to share this word with someone so that their life may be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us bow our heads with prayer. Precious God, Lord, we thank you today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to just approach your throne of grace. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have a relationship with you. Father God, Lord, that you are our Father. Father God, Lord, and that we have the ability, Father God, Lord, to spend time with you. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this intimate connection. Father God, Lord, that you speak to us. Father God, Lord, and that you give us, Lord, insight, foresight, and revelation. Father God, Lord, that we may live, Father God, Lord, better. Father God, Lord, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Father God, Lord, we come now, Father God, Lord, that you would speak to us. Father God, give us wisdom. Father God, Lord, for you said in your word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, Lord. So we come asking, Lord, that you would pour out your wisdom upon us. Father God, Lord, we come interceding, Father God, Lord, for our fellow brethren. Father God, Lord, for those who don't know you, Father God, Lord, that they would come into a saving knowledge of you. Father God, we plead, Lord, your blood, Father God, Lord, upon, Father God, our families, Father God, Lord, those in our ministries, Father God, Lord, for this country, Father God, Lord, Father God, for a spirit of unity, Father God, Lord, to dwell. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, today. Father God, Lord, just for the opportunity, Lord, to spend time with you. And Father, Lord, we bind every contrary spirit, every demonic force, Father God, Lord, every spirit of negativity, Father God, anything, Father God, Lord, that will attempt to hinder us from doing the things that you've called us to do in the earth. Father God, you call us to walk in love and to be love. And we thank you, Lord. Father God, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, we're going to get a word, Father God, Lord, that shall empower us to continue to do the things you've called us to do, and we shall, Lord, continue to do them until your return. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you were with us on last time, I told you this has been one of the most difficult years for me and my family, but we are so grateful to God for all that he's done in our lives. As a matter of fact, during my sabbatical, I spent a lot of time in reflection, just taking inventory of all the things that God has done, making note of everything we've gained throughout this process. Because if we're honest enough to admit it, we have all at one time or another find ourselves in situations that we are not to our liking. And whether they were self-inflicted, God-led, or enemy-induced, they were all a part of the process. But it's our perspective that will determine whether or not we benefit from it. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, open your Bibles with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And when you get there, look at verse 2. James, chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. And I'm going to be reading this from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Here he tells us that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what situations or circumstances may arise, we ought to count it as joy, knowing that if it puts pressure on our faith, If it causes us to have to trust God, then it will develop spiritual consistency within us. See, the testing of our faith produces patience. Notice he said produces patience. See, the testing of your faith won't give you patience, but it will produce patience. Put this in your notes. It's a process. Now, look at verse 4. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, that word perfect in the Greek means mature. So it's necessary to complete the process in order to mature. He says that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, that word complete means whole, totally fulfilled. Now, how many of you would like to experience total fulfillment? The place where all of your needs are met, your health, your finances, your relationships. He said complete, lacking nothing. Well, in order to get there, you must learn to appreciate the process. And sometimes struggling is part of the process. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, learning to appreciate the process. Go over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And when you get there, look at verse 3. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Here Paul says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. In other words, we rejoice or we celebrate the struggles. Now, I know somebody's thinking, well, Pastor, I don't celebrate struggles. But if you recall, I told you on last week, there's strength in the struggle. And see, when you become mature, you can rejoice or celebrate the struggles. He says, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. In other words, see, once we become mature, once we understand that this process, which involves us having to struggle, will develop in us a spiritual consistency, the ability to remain unwavering no matter the circumstances, then we will be able to rejoice and celebrate the struggles. Verse 4 says, and that spiritual consistency or perseverance will develop character. And character, hope. And that hope does not disappoint. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. He says, an endurance fortitude. Endurance or fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. Here he tells us that the process develops maturity of character, tried integrity. Now, the word integrity is defined as the state of being whole, entire, undiminished, a sound, unimpaired, or perfect condition. It describes an object's capacity to withstand testing. Oh, I need you to help you see it. See, it's like talking about the boat's integrity had been compromised. So that means that there's a leak in the boat. That means it's no longer sound. It has been diminished. It's impaired. It's no longer in perfect condition. It no longer has the capacity to withstand testing. But he says that this process will develop a maturity of character and a tried integrity. So it will develop a state of being whole, entire, undiminished, sound, unimpaired, a perfect condition. It will develop a capacity within you to withstand testing that has been tried. In other words, it will develop a place in you, a characteristic about you that says that you have been tried and you have the ability to withstand testing. But you see, you can't be sure of a person's integrity until they have been tried. Watch this. Turn over to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. I'm trying to teach you how to appreciate the process. See, I told you I went through a very strenuous process. My family went through a very strenuous process this year. It wasn't fun at all. But on the other side of it, I can celebrate it. I can rejoice it because I can see that now we have a tried integrity. We have a different level of maturity. We have developed a character, a capacity to withstand testing. We know now we can get through things. Oh, it shows you now that you have the ability to withstand stuff you didn't know you could withstand before. Exodus chapter 13. When you get there, look at verse 17. Here it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. See, most people would rather take the shortcut. See, but God led them on the road through the Philistine country. He didn't lead them on that road, even though it was shorter. See, because he said if they face war, they might change their minds and go back into bondage. See, most people want to take the shortcut because they want things to come easy. But God said they needed to go the long route so that they could mature, because it tried their integrity and developed their character. Oh, somebody type in the comments, it was for their benefit. See, the process was for their benefit. Watch this. See, difficulty destroys complacency. See, if everything came easy, then the first time you had a problem, you'd quit. Because if you know you are an heir and not a slave, you'll refuse to leave without what you're entitled to. See, you'll look struggle in the eye and tell it like Jacob told the angel, I won't let you go until you bless me. No matter how difficult the situation. But the problem is, we have a tendency to expect the worst. But you've got to realize that it's all a part of the process. As a matter of fact, go over to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. I pray I'm blessing somebody this morning. Genesis chapter 50. And when you get there, look at verse 20. I'm trying to build up in you the ability to withstand tough times. Because tough times don't last, but tough people do. But you've got to develop the ability to withstand tough times. Genesis chapter 50, look at verse 20. Here he says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Here we have Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely accused of rape, thrown in jail, forgotten by those he helped, but it was all a part of his process. And it allowed him to deliver his people from famine. See, you've got to recognize that simply because you've been chosen, God's not going to waste any part of your journey. See, he can use your mistakes, your triumphs, your tragedies to bless somebody else's life. Watch this. Paul put it this way. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Oh, see, that's something I realized years ago. Regardless of what I go through, God wants to use it to bless somebody else. See, God's going to use whatever he brings me out of. I saw my wife had posted something on social media the other day. She said that your testimony or your struggle is going to be a roadmap for somebody else to get out. I probably quoted it wrong, but it's something to that effect. It's basically saying that what work death in you is going to work life in somebody else. See, you may have gone through hell so somebody else don't have to. See, I didn't enjoy living out of my car, filing bankruptcy at 19, chronic pain for the last 20 years. And I definitely didn't enjoy watching my wife go through her recent health crisis. But it was all a part of my process. And if you're going to get what God has in store for you, if you're going to be a blessing to the people God's called you to be a blessing to, you've got to learn to appreciate your process. Now, does that mean you're going to enjoy it? No. But you've got to recognize it's for your good. Because what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for your good. See, one of the first things you can appreciate about the process is that it teaches you to raise your expectations. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And when you get to look at verse 28, Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. Here it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But Pastor, how can I be sure that things will work for my good? Well, the Bible says he has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but by his own purpose. So if we're saved, we must know we have been called according to his purpose. And Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commands. So all we have to do is do what he says. And things are guaranteed to work out for our good. Because we know that we are the ones who love God and are been called according to his purpose. And the Bible says all things work together for them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us in the Philippian letter, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Put this in your notes. God will finish what he started. So I know he won't abandon me. So you ought to raise your expectations. See, I don't care what my circumstances look like or what the enemy says or how I feel. I expect victory. Turn over to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I pray you're getting this in your spirit. Exodus chapter 3. And when you get to look at verse 21, here it says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty handed. But every woman shall ask her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold and clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. See, I need you to understand what this is. He says, I will give this people favor. He's talking about his people. In the sight of the Egyptians are the people who were mistreating the people who had his people in bondage. He said, and so it shall be when you come out of bondage. He said, you shall not leave empty handed. He said, but you shall plunder the Egyptians. He says, so the very thing that kept you in bondage is going to have to bless you. See, with God, you can expect good out of a bad situation because he said you won't come out empty. See, and if you look back over your life, every time God brought you out of a situation, you came out better. Oh, see, we may not have enjoyed it. It probably wasn't fun. But if we're honest, it was for our benefit. As a matter of fact, my former pastor used to say it this way. If you can come out of a situation knowing more about yourself and knowing more about God, it was a win. So pay close attention to what God is doing in your life. I tell people like this, whenever something happens, whenever you're in a situation, whenever you're dealing with trials or circumstances or frustrations or whatever you want to call them, whenever you're in a storm, whenever you're in a faith fight, you need to be looking around for God's fingerprints. Because God's fingerprints, God's footprints, God's DNA will lead you to the blessing. It will lead you to the benefit. It will lead you to what it was that you were supposed to take out of there. See, eventually you'll develop the expectation that even your burdens have to bless you. But the problem is most folks want the quick fix. But just because it takes longer or is uncomfortable doesn't mean it's not working for your good. See, you've just got to do what God said. And you can't get discouraged because things look bad. See, another thing that you can appreciate about the process is that it will show you that you're anointed. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, turn over to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And when you get there, look at verse 10. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 10. Here it reads, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been far better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness"? See, when they saw Pharaoh chasing after them, they got so scared that they started cursing Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out here? We told you before we left, we just wanted to stay in bondage. Why did you bring us out here? It would have been better for us to just stay in bondage than to come out here and die." Now, these were the same people that had been crying out to God for him to come get them so bad that God had to go and find somebody that had left Egypt. He had run away from Egypt. And God makes him come back to come get them. But now they're cursing their deliverer because of their fear. Because the process is too difficult. Because the process is uncomfortable. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again, no more forever." He said, you better have an expectation. He said, "The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me?" He said, "Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." See, you've got to know that you are better than your circumstances because you've been empowered to handle the situation. Watch this. See, had they never been trapped between Pharaoh and the Red Sea, Moses would have never known the power he was carrying in his hand. Woo, Jesus. Y'all just better hear what I just said. See, had you never been caught between a rock and a hard place, you would have never known what God put in you. See, the process will show you that you're anointed. See, if you were never challenged, you would never know what you were capable of. As a matter of fact, Paul puts it this way. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Somebody type in the comments, "It's already in us." Shh. Watch this. You've heard my wife and I talking about this struggle we've been in and telling you about the situation and sharing her testimony. Watch this. It was not until my wife was bedridden and it got to the point where she had to leave home and go to the rehab hospital that she found out that she was actually strong enough to do the things that she's currently doing now. See, she had to get to that place where she was stuck between a rock and a hard place. She had got to the point where it got so bad before she found out that everything she needed was already in her. But sometimes it requires adversity to pull it out of us. And that's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. In other words, you're going to benefit from the process. See, the problem is we're so eager for the process to just be over that we never pay attention to what it produced. So we think we went through all of that for nothing. But if we take the time to do inventory of what we gain from the process, we'll recognize that it was for our benefit. So that the next time trial shows up, we can face it with the proper attitude, with one of expectancy. And that is the purpose, that it has a purpose, which is to increase our trust in God. As a matter of fact, go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And look at verse 13. Here he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. See, most people waver when things get tight, not realizing that part of the process was meant to teach you to trust God's provision. Oh, let me help you see it. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, I'm almost done. Deuteronomy chapter 8, but I need you to see this. See, part of the process was simply meant to teach you to trust in God's provision. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and look at verse 2. Here it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. That word humble means to remove the independence of. And he does so by allowing us to face challenges that exceed our abilities in order to reveal on whom we really depend, whether or not we trust him as we say we do. See, it goes on to say, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, and that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. He said, and your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your feet swell these 40 years. See, sure we say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But faith ain't faith until it's been tested. See, in order to experience God's supply, we have to experience a need. See, we have to be in a needy place. In a needy situation, the Bible says his strength is made perfect in weakness. See, we want to bear witness to God's strength, but in order to do so, we must be weak. See, we don't realize that the process was meant to teach us to trust in his system. He said, you won't come out empty, but we must first learn to appreciate the process. And that's why Paul says, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And that hope does not disappoint. So we can appreciate the process because it always works out for our good. Amen. God bless you today. I pray you understand how powerful this process is in your life. How beneficial it is for you to go through the things that you go through. Because God doesn't waste anything. It doesn't have to be fun. It doesn't have to feel good. But guess what? God is working it out for your good. That's all you have to know. God is working it out for my good. And if you're listening to this today and you're like, man, I just thought God wasn't happy with me. I thought I was struggling. No, that's not how God operates. You have an adversary, the devil, who is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people who are going to quit, who are going to give up. But that's not us. We just got to realize that God is using what the devil is doing to strengthen us. And all we've got to do is follow his instruction. He said, because no temptation has befallen you except what is common to man. He said, and God is faithful. He will always. He said, he won't let you be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And with it, he will always make a way of escape. God is always there to bring you through. He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. All you got to do is go through the process and you're going to come out on the other side better. If you listen to this message today and you're like, man, I just been struggling for so long and I thought I didn't have any help. Well, guess what? Jesus has always been there with you. The only thing that's been hard is because you've been trying to do it by yourself and never tapped into your help. But he wants to have a relationship with you. And if you desire that relationship with Christ today, this is your opportunity. I want to introduce you to him. The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you could be saved. It's just that simple. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ was willing to give up his life for you. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us missed the mark. We were born in sin. We were born not up to God's standard because of what Adam did. The original man sinned and it was in our DNA. And so we needed a savior. We were never going to be able to get it right. And so God said, I'm not going to let them stay in that condition. I love them too much and I want them back in my family. So Jesus gave up his life so that you could get back. You would have a way back. But all you have to do is accept the offer. So if you desire that today, all you have to do is believe that he loved you that much and then confess with your mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I give him permission to make my every decision. I submit my life to him. Because in order to have the life that he has for you, you have to give up the life that you're currently living. It's an even exchange. You're unhappy with the life that you have. Why not take the one he has for you? So if you desire that today, pray this prayer with me. Precious God, come into my heart, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus Christ died for me, and I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. Be my Father. Make me your child. Teach me how to live for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And if you prayed that prayer, you're now part of the body of Christ, the family of believers, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop you. The next step in your journey is to find a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. And if you desire to be a part of my church, then we would love to have you. Just go to our website, www.lovemychurch.org, click Contact Us, fill out a connection card, let us know you received Christ today, and one of our ministers will get back with you, send you some information about your next steps. We are a virtual ministry, but we have all the components in place to help you walk it out. We've got ministers who will be praying with you. Each week we have a virtual Bible study where you can get on camera if you like, or just listen if you like, or you can talk back to the people who are there with you. Or if you're looking for a physical church, we've got other partner ministries that we can connect you with. But we just want to make sure that we're able to help you in your walk with Christ. So reach out to us and let us know. Secondly, if you've been blessed by this ministry and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do on the earth, which is make sure that the gospel is available everywhere. We make sure the gospel is available wherever there's an internet signal. Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, Android and iPhones, computers, anywhere that there's an internet signal, the word at my church is available. We have an entire stream of faith network, and we have all kinds of faith-based programming to help you to become a well-rounded believer. And this is what we've been called to do in the earth. And if you want to help us do that, click the donate button, sow a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $MyChurchLynchburg, paypal.me/MyChurchLynchburg, or you can use the Givelify app, or just go to our website, click sow a seed. But however you give, just know that your gifts are going to help us continue to do what God's called us to do. This is not a small undertaking that we have. And we would love for you to partner with us in this. You can sow your tithe, your offering, your seed, however you want to sow. But just know that whatever you do is going to help change somebody else's life. People are being blessed all over the world by this ministry. But thirdly, if you've been blessed by this message, make sure you share it with somebody else that you know who needs it. Because you know somebody who you know who needs this word. But God bless you today. I love you. I'm Pastor Tuck. Make sure you come back and watch with us again on next time. See you on next time. Please stay tuned for our announcements. God bless you. I love you.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
I told you, God has chosen us to be his change agents in the earth.
Do me a favor, y'all. Share the room, whether you're on Clubhouse, whether you are on Facebook, whether you're on YouTube.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen, and the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know. At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform.
or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.